Before our story begins, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has revealed himself first to the women, and the disciples by this point have already seen him. And he told the women specifically to go and tell the disciples that he is going before them into Galilee, and that's where they should go. Okay, and that's where our story begins. So, here we go. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain in which Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you
always.
To the end of the age." I knew you guys would have that one, so I wanted to leave that blank. Always, even to the end of the age. All right, well, just out of curiosity, do we have a volunteer that thinks they could tell back the story as much as they can remember? And I'll even get you started. Our story starts out with, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Do we have a volunteer that might be able to help tell back the story as much as they can remember? Hold on, Jason. Anybody have anybody volunteer, feel brave enough to tell it back? All right, John, go ahead. So then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee,
where Jesus had pointed them, and they saw Jesus, and some worshipped, some doubted. And then Jesus told them to, I'm blugging out.
Louder?
Yeah.
Louder, please.
Okay. And Jesus told them to make disciples of all nations, teaching them what he had taught them, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that he would be with them always until the end of the age.
Good job. Appreciate that, John. Awesome. Really good job. I'll clap for you. I'll clap for you. That's so stressful because you're pretty confident. And then as soon as you start talking, you're like, what happened to those thoughts? Well, I'm going to help us all. And for all of us who are not quite brave enough as John, we appreciate you, John. I'm going to tell the story, but you're going to help me tell the story this time. And so it says, then the who?
11
disciples. The 11 who?
Disciples.
That's right. The 11 disciples went away into
Galilee.
That's right, Galilee. To the mountain.
Jesus
had appointed them. And when they saw Jesus, what happened? They worshipped him, but
some
doubted. And Jesus said to them, do you remember what he said?
Go away.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. That's right, good job. Baptizing them in whose name?
The Father and the Son.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then they're supposed to also do something else. Do you remember what that was?
Disciple.
Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then it was something like play tic-tac-toe with them.
No. What?
That's right.
That's right, sir.
Teaching them
to observe
all that I have commanded. Yeah. And then, anybody else remember what happens next? And behold,
I
am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah, great job.
Good job.
Really good job. You know, I'm wondering if you were one of the disciples on that mountain, what kind of feelings might you have?
Be happy.
What kind of feelings might you have if you were on that mountain with Jesus that day in Galilee?
You pray for Jesus.
Excited?
Okay.
Pray for Jesus?
Yeah, pray for Jesus.
What else?
A little scared too, maybe.
Yeah, a little scared?
What else, guys? What else?
Okay.
What else?
Excited, a little scared? Why a little scared?
Just because it's something different, something new.
No, just
and new things tend to be a little scary sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
A little shocked.
What?
Shocked because they probably weren't thinking they would see him in Galilee
since
they watched him die or knew he died.
Shocked. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Something doubted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shocked. Okay. What else? How might you feel being there on the mountain with Jesus that day?
Elated.
What's that?
Elated.
Elated. Okay. Why elated? Because he is risen. All right. Yeah. Stephen.
I think a lot of them would be worried because they'd spent all this time with Jesus actually with them. Because this was before Pentecost. You know, if your master is leaving, that's a scary time. And I think that would worry them how they're going to do it without him actually physically being.
Yeah, it might cause some worry, some consternation, concern, scare, fear. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into our story and see what we can dig, the treasures we can dig out of the story. So the story starts out with, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Let's just stop there for a moment and talk about the disciples. The disciples, it says that they went away from there into Galilee. Do you remember where they were coming from?
At the mountain.
I showed them the introduction of the story. Anybody remember where they were coming from? Jerusalem. That's right. They were coming from Jerusalem because in the introduction, I shared about how Jesus is risen from the dead, and he told the women to tell the disciples to go ahead of them into Galilee. So the disciples went away from there into Galilee. Is there anything we can learn about the disciples or their character from the fact that they left Jerusalem and went away into Galilee to the mountain in which Jesus had appointed them? What do you all think about the disciples? Okay, so go with you first, Linda.
The women that told them, you know, Jesus told them to go to Galilee and relayed the message were trustworthy. They were followers of Jesus. They weren't just anybody. So they took it as a truth and followed the directions.
Okay, so they believed it and they followed. What would you say, Ben?
I was saying they were obedient to the directions they were given.
They were obedient, yeah. Yeah.
They're probably curious.
Curious? Okay.
Even though they doubted, they still went. They still were obedient, even though some of them doubted.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. When they saw Jesus and said they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. What do you think that's where Matthew's trying to tell us? That they worshiped him, but some of them doubted.
Were there more than just the apostles and disciples there? Were there just some regular people following along to see what the people were up to?
That very well could be. We don't know from this story. But that very well could be that there were more than just the disciples. Yeah, but some worshipped, or then they worshipped him, but some doubted. Anything else we can learn about the disciples from this?
doubting.
What do you think they were doubting?
They were still probably trying to wrap their mind around the whole resurrection.
Yeah, I believe that would take a challenge to try to understand the resurrection, and I've never seen anyone in person resurrected from the dead, and it might take me a little while to wrap my mind around that. Yeah, anything else?
Jesus?
What do you think? Yeah.
I think they may have doubted that he was alive.
Some may have doubted, even though he appeared to them? Oh, they might have doubted that it's actually him. That's actually a really good point. Huh. Is there any other reason why they might doubt that it's actually him?
Could have been like someone tried to imposter him.
Okay, yeah. Maybe he looked a little different?
Yeah, because like they haven't seen anybody risen
from the dead. Okay. Yeah, it's possible.
Jesus.
Well, let's talk about Jesus for a moment. How does Jesus respond to their doubts?
He gives them a command.
Yeah, he kind of ignores it, huh? He just gives them a command. All right, well, Jesus had told them ahead of time where to go. They went to the mountain that he had appointed. And then some doubted, but Jesus gives them a command. Is there, yeah?
Well, there's a difference between doubt and unbelief.
Okay.
And so, of course, he would have known, you know, who truly believed and maybe was doubting slightly, but still truly believed in him and was his follower versus someone who, like the Pharisees, who, you know, didn't want to believe anything.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Pat. Okay. Yeah, looking very different and trying to put it all together. How could this be? Yeah. But Jesus didn't respond to them doubting or worshiping. He did what? He gave them a command next, right? Before we get into the second part of the story, I'm just wondering, is there anything we can learn? Could Jesus have made a different choice here? Could he have made a different choice?
He could have addressed the doubt.
Yeah. Anything else he could have done?
He could have rejected the doubters.
He could have rejected the doubters. Haters gotta hate, go home. Yeah, he could have rejected the doubters. Well, could he have done anything else? Yeah.
Is this where Thomas doubted?
No.
No, it's not where Thomas doubted. Well, and just for fun here, we're not sure. I don't think Matthew is summarizing that I think because we're actually on this mountain where the Lord told him to be. But what else could he have done?
He could have scolded him.
He could have scolded them.
It's like,
yeah.
What took you guys so long? I told you I'd meet you here. Why'd they have to tell you to come? You
know? Yeah, yeah. Why didn't you guys head out as soon as I was crucified and buried, right? Yeah. He could have done that. But is there anything we can learn from Jesus and the fact that he doesn't do these things, but he begins to give them a command?
He's got a plan.
He's got a plan? Why do you say that?
Because he's not going to waste his time on their doubt. He knows where their heart is, and he's going to keep moving forward with it. And it's their human. It's their choice to follow or to fall off.
Okay. So he gives them a choice there, and he's not too so concerned with their doubt because he knows their hearts. Yeah? Okay. Anything else we can learn about Jesus from what he does do? That he doesn't address the doubts. That he doesn't scold the doubters. Yeah, Stephen.
That the resurrection is the proof that he's provided. And he's not going to continually provide different kinds of proof for everyone. He says, this is the only sign I'm going to give to you, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and so on, that I'll be in the tomb like Jonah was in the whale. There's no other sign for you.
Yeah.
So there's a certain... You know, he's proved his case there completely.
Yeah, okay, this is it. No, no need to defend or to prove himself anymore. He's risen from the dead. Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, let's go to the second part of our story, to this command. It says, and Jesus spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So let's talk about this command. But first, Jesus makes this statement to the disciples, and he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." What might that mean? What do you all think that means? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Complete, solid control of everything. Death, life, all movement, oceans being calmed, everything.
Total control. Total control, okay. What's that, Marty?
The whole universe.
The whole universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the Lord in the flesh.
He's the Lord incarnate in flesh, yeah. Okay. What would that mean, all authority?
He's totally in charge.
Totally in charge, okay. Anybody have authority in here?
Not me.
Anybody have authority? No, nobody has authority in here? Okay, at home? Yeah, you have an authority at home? I like to pretend I have an authority at home. But it's really Lucy. No. At home? Okay. So what does it mean to have authority? Yeah, Mark.
The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. To call on him on anything you're in trouble or anything.
Okay.
And he has the power to overcome
situations. He has the power? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What else does authority mean? What does it mean at your home? Yeah, Claire.
Okay,
they make the rules and can enforce those rules and tell you what to do and what not to do. Yeah, that's actually a really good observation. Anybody else have a comment about what it means to have authority?
To reign.
To reign? Okay. What does that mean, to reign? I know you guys are like, "Dave, this is obvious," but I guarantee it's not that obvious for most of us. And we'll see why it's not that obvious.
To look over.
Okay.
To have the control, but to also have to be the coordinator, the keeper, the observer, the reviser, all of those hats.
Okay.
You have authority over something.
Okay. Yeah. You're also watching over and protecting those in your care. That's a great observation about authority, too. That's really good. We don't always think about that, that there's a responsibility as well to protect and care for. Stephen.
You're also the final judge, the final court of view. You're the one that determines the truth of every event, everything anyone's ever said. So.
Yeah. That's from a legal perspective, that's pretty intense, because whatever you say goes. Whatever that final judge says goes. Yeah. There's no argument left after that, right?
Yes, and there are a number of passages where he mentions that, like in Malachi, a few people might be debating with me about whether I am just. And then he responds to certain parts of their argument. But then he says, "In the end, though, I am the judge." So no matter what you bring up before him, in the final analysis, he's the one that's going to make the decision about whether you're right or he's right. So.
Yeah. In the end, he's the final judge. How many of you guys have ever said, as parents, Do it because I said so.
So.
Right? Does that usually work?
No.
How bad do you want that to work? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think we learn it from our parents, and then we say it thinking it's going to work when it didn't work with us. But my house, my rules, right? And sometimes those work, sometimes they don't. But Jesus is saying all authority. Now, it's the authority beyond a house, right? And it's beyond a city. It's beyond a country or a state. It's beyond the globe. It actually says in heaven and on earth. What might that mean to have all authority in heaven? What's that?
And he's God. He's the creator.
He's God, he's creator, yeah. And then, of course, we've already talked about being a judge, final judge. What else?
That's authority over the angels.
Authority over the angels? And the angel, yeah.
He's like in charge of everything.
He's in charge of everything? Okay. How much are we concerned with heaven right now? How much are we concerned with heaven when we're on our deathbed?
400.
Just a question. It's kind of nice to know the guy in charge, right? But so Jesus has been given all authority. And tell me, in our story, what does Jesus do with his authority? Yeah, he gives a command, right? And his command is to do what? I got a couple things. So what was that?
Baptize.
Okay, so it said, go therefore, make disciples of
all
the nations, not just the ones you like, right? All the nations, and then what'd you say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. We'll pause there for a minute. So Jesus gives, with all his authority in heaven and on earth, he gives a command. And who does he give the command to? Oh, he gives it to the disciples and then us. What do you mean by that?
Well, the disciples spread the word. We become disciples when we accept Jesus.
Well, is there anything in the story that can say we're obligated to this rule too?
He's an authority.
He's an authority, okay. But maybe it was just for the 11.
No,
it's written down.
It's written down? It's written down as a law. There'd be really no reason to just tell them and not tell us.
But wouldn't it be easier if it was only for them? Then it would have ended a while. Oh, speaking of ends, is there anything in the story that might help us know that this is more than just for the 11 disciples? Because they're baptized? Stephen.
Well, this is a big change. All nations, bringing in the idea of the Gentiles was really a huge change. And it was such a big change that, you know, that even Peter, for example, really believe it, had to be given further visions to show that, no, that this is a new process.
So it's a big change. Yeah, definitely include them. Mary, what you wanted to say something too.
No, I was just saying, yeah, they're
right. Well, okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Claire. Okay, you're going with, I think, was it John who said that it was written down?
Well, it's more of, they probably said it wrong. Better to say, Jesus says to them earlier, what I tell you in secret, proclaim from the rooftops.
Okay.
The stuff I give you, you're supposed to disseminate and give to others.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, good. Holly.
He said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. And he was giving the disciples a command to go to make disciples in all the nations.
Okay.
So if that was his command to to them, we get to teach to make more disciples. That's given to us as well, because we're disciples.
Absolutely. Okay. Just out of curiosity, Jesus did say, and behold, I'm with you always, and then something. Even to the end of the age. What in the world does that mean? We're going to come back to the command, but what in the world does that mean? Even to the end of the age.
Till his return.
Till the end of time? Till his return? Okay. Yeah, definitely this is going on, right? So I think we've got some really good points to know that this authority and this command is given to not just the 11 disciples, but because it's written in his word, we've been told to declare what's been said in secret, declare it openly. Here it says that even to the end of the age, that definitely goes beyond the life of the disciples. Well, let's look at the command, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded. Go therefore and make disciples. What is disciple making?
Spreading the word.
Spreading the word? Okay. Teaching the gospel. Okay.
Equipping others to spread the gospel.
Equipping others to spread the gospel. Okay. Anything in the story that could help us?
Teaching, because he says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So it means take how I discipled you and pass it to the next group. Because one thing to give somebody the gospel is another thing to teach them to observe everything that he taught them.
Oh.
That's not a quick period. That's time spent.
Okay, so it's a little more than just
just
telling people Jesus died for you.
Jesus loves you. See you later.
Jesus loves you. See you later. But that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you. Drive off, right? No, this is actually saying make disciples. So you're saying teaching them to actually obey everything that Christ has commanded is part of that teaching. Okay, so it says go, make disciples, baptizing and teaching. So what does the baptism have to do with all this?
Being born again.
Being born again. Okay.
Sign of believing, sign of faith.
A sign of believing and sign of faith, okay.
Outwardly admission of faith.
Okay. It's that statement to the world, you're in Christ, yeah. Okay. Do you think it's important? Could we leave off the baptism part and just do the teaching part?
No,
oh. Okay.
All authority, so we think we listen to that statement. I am the Lord your God.
Oh.
Right? That's the kind of statement it is.
Oh, okay. So it's all authority. I am the Lord your God. Okay, Stephen.
He says he's the one with all authority, and then so those that deny, for example, the Holy Spirit of God, would be denying what he said.
Okay. Yeah. So there's definitely an identification there with God. Yeah. Could Jesus have said something else here? I mean, last command, leaving earth. Could he have said something else? I know you guys think this is absolutely foolish of me to ask, and guess what? It absolutely is. But I'm just asking, could he have said something else?
Make it your best life now, dudes.
Make it your best life now. Okay, but by the way, we're not trying to be blasphemous. We're exploring the idea of what he could have said. He could have said, make it your best life. Yeah. You got to dream it to believe it, right? Or believe it to, I don't know, whatever. So. Could he have said anything else?
Miss you guys.
What?
I'll miss you. Yeah, peace out.
And yeah. I'm out.
What's that?
And I'm out.
And I'm out, yeah. He could have said that. Anything else he could have said?
Hope it all works out for you guys.
Hope it all works out. So knowing that he didn't say these other things, and he did say this, can we learn anything about Jesus from what he did actually say? Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Okay. It's a continuation for the world of what he's done for us. Yeah. Mary.
Is this the first time that he actually said to be baptized? This is a whole new agenda. This is a whole new command statement that somehow the idea that we are all baptized in the Holy Spirit, us in this church, that's what commands us to do, different from what baptism was.
Yeah, it is a different baptism. Just for fun, the word baptism or baptizo means to dip or to dye. Okay, so if you were to take clothing and to dip it into a dye, you took a white shirt and you dipped it into a red dye. What is that shirt? Red dye. So really, it's about identification. So before John's baptism, what was John's baptism for? Does anybody remember?
Repentance.
Repentance. That's right. It was for repentance. And what is this baptism for?
Identification.
Well, John's baptism, if the identification of John's baptism was repentance, what is the identification of this new baptism?
Salvation.
Who are you identified with? Baptizing them in the name of the
Father.
Yeah, it's a baptism into God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a representation of a new life. I know you guys are also quoting some other scriptures there. So yeah, this is a new identification, a different kind of identification. What do you have an idea? Did anybody have any type of identification on them? Anybody, like, if I ask you, like, hey, can you pull out your identification? What would you guys pull out? And what would that driver's license tell you? You got a thumbprint? Yeah. What does that tell you? What's that? It says People's Republic of California. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Yeah, I, by the way, this is a real ID. It's real. I don't know. It basically states that I am who I say I am. I live in the state of California. And some of you guys have different states on your driver's license. Lucky you. But it's my identification. You know, one of the identifications I'm so proud of is my U.S. passport. I love traveling with my U.S. passport. I know there's a lot of hate out there, but trust me, it's awesome. So what would this identification be? What kind of identification is this baptism?
You're Christian.
You're Christian? Okay.
Eternal.
What?
Identified in Christ.
Identified in Christ? Okay. Yeah. Not... What country would that be identified with?
All nations.
All nations.
Eternal.
An eternal kingdom. Yeah. A kingdom without end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a new identification. Go baptizing them. Go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Okay. Real quick, what are all things that Jesus commanded you? Go. What's that?
Believe in the one that God has sent.
Okay, believe in the one that God has sent. Go. Okay.
Love one another. Obey Jesus.
love one another, obey Jesus. You know, isn't that funny how when we were like, okay, teach me all that Jesus commanded you, you're like, believe in him? Right. But I'm just curious, are we ready to make disciples if this command is to us? And by the way, this command doesn't say for Dave Johnson and any pastor of a fellowship. I mean, this is for, didn't we say it was for all disciples of Jesus, right? We did agree on that, right? We did, we came to that conclusion. So are we ready to fulfill this command? Yeah. We're ready? Maybe?
I would not think it's that only the disciples can make disciples. So if we don't consider ourselves disciples, it's going to be really hard for us to make disciples.
Yeah. Sorry, say that again a little bit louder.
I believe that only disciples can make disciples. So if we don't consider ourselves disciples of Christ, it would be really hard to make disciples.
Oh. Okay, so we have to be a disciple ourselves, actually. Okay. So if we're not a disciple ourselves, it's going to be hard to make us make disciples. Huh. That's an interesting point. So what does that look like? A disciple maker is a disciple who makes disciples.
Usually it's someone else has helped them become a disciple. Okay. And then they're more than happy to pass that on because somebody gave it to them and now they have something to give away. Same what Jesus did with the disciples. But if you've never done it or no one's ever walked you through being a disciple, then yeah, you're kind of just, you show up at church, you go home, you did your Sunday thing, but
okay.
Jesus has all authority. Fills you with the Holy Spirit, so that makes the disciples.
Okay, filling you with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and leads us. Okay, that's good. Now, let me ask you a question. Earlier, we said that it might have been scary to be on that mountain with Jesus that day. Anybody scared of disciple making?
No.
I am. Like, you want to know why I'm scared?
What?
I'm scared of disciple making because I always am afraid I'm going to screw it up. Okay? Oh, and the other thing I'm scared of disciple making is I feel personally that I have an extra obligation to not be lazy and just expect you to come to church to make disciples. I feel like I got to be out there making disciples. And I'm an extrovert. I can talk to people just about anything. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, I get scared. Not scared, timid. Anybody get timid? Anybody? Okay, I guess I'm the only one. Or a couple of you. Okay. Well, praise God for you that are bold. We got to hang out more. But I get timid. You know, I can ask people the dumbest questions ever for strangers. They look at me like a total weirdo. And then in a few minutes, I'm talking to them. But man, when it comes to talking about Jesus, I get timid sometimes. So is there anything in this story that might help me with being more bold?
Jesus said he would be with us.
Sorry, can you say that louder?
Jesus said he would be with us.
Jesus said he would be with us always. How might that help us be more bold? We should be able to rely on him.
Give us the support and the confidence to be able to speak.
That should give us confidence. Okay.
And we're not coming in our own authority. I know that's where I kind of get hung up because I, you know, you think, well, I'm trying to lead you to Jesus, but it's like, no, it's his authority that's given me the reason to talk to you.
Oh, okay. That's not me coming in my authority.
Yeah.
Wow, that could definitely give you a boldness. Mr. President, I need to tell you about Jesus. That could give us a lot more authority. Yeah. Anything else that can help us? Like, Jesus is with us. Do you all, those of you that get timid, do you feel that Jesus is with you when you're timid? You do? That's good.
You gotta pray first.
Oh, you gotta pray first, okay. Yeah.
And that's where the difference is. I'm trying to do it in my own power now. I'm going to fall flat on my face.
Okay.
But
yeah. Okay, so he has authority over anything that might try to stop you. All right. And he's with us. I guess we might just need to believe that that's really true. Huh, there might be a little trust factor, a little faith issue. How many of you all, if you've made a rule in your house, you expect that rule to be obeyed? Anyone? Yeah. How much do you appreciate when rules are disobeyed in your household? You love that? You rejoice in that? Oh, man. My kid is amazing. They sneak out 3 times a night. I'll tell you. Love that kid, right? Oh, man. My kids are amazing. They not only pick up the dog waste, but they lay it in the kitchen. They are great kids. Tell you what, right? Yeah, we wouldn't rejoice over somebody being disobedient in our household. How do you think Jesus feels about our obedience to this command? No, how does he think you feel about our obedience? Okay.
I'll let a doubt come in, or, is it convenient? I'm on my way someplace.
Well, I'm going to rephrase it, because for fear that we'll become legalistic, and I don't want to do that, because there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. So how do you think God might respond to us when we are obedient? He'll bless us? How do you know that?
Because he's a good God.
Because he's a good God? Okay.
Because I've seen it. I've worked to be obedient, and I see the amazing things he does, because I just said, you take control, and not my will anymore. So he's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm like, I love you with all my heart. Why would I want to do my own thing?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Pat, it's nice.
When I have nothing overcome by my shyness, and I ask the Lord to help me, then I proceed and scroll until I get to the point where I can do something. Then he helps me, and that's all I can do is thank Jesus. And then what else that happens, I proceed to the Lord.
You can come around the center. It's fine. It's like amazing here. Don't worry. That's why we're having a discussion tonight. You're fine. You don't have to hurry. Yeah. Well, these are all good observations. James says the person who is a doer of the word is blessed in all he does. So I want to encourage you with that. Well, you've been called. You've been commanded. And I want to encourage you that to grow in this, that we as a fellowship, I'll tell you right now, I think the reason why we are in such turmoil is because somewhere along the way, we forgot this command. It's just my opinion. I feel that somewhere along the way, the church in America got consumed with coolness and less about being potent and incendiary. So I just want to challenge you. Your neighbors need it. You can't force anybody. But this is our command. All authority on earth has been given to me. These are the last words of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew leaves us with this: to go make disciples of all nations. By the way, I love that word, go. Go. Baptizing and teaching are all participles in the Greek. And literally, it would be going, therefore, make disciples. Knowing that you're not going to sit in one place, go make disciples. Baptizing, teaching, them to obey all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is really with you? Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get charismatic here. Do you believe that Jesus is with you? Okay, yeah. All right. Let's get even more charismatic for India so they know we're trying hard here. Give me a hallelujah. Lift up the name of the Lord. Do you believe Jesus is with you?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, absolutely. Amen. He is with you. Now go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this time in your word. Lord Jesus, we want to take this serious. Make us bold, Lord. Holy Spirit, fall upon us fresh. God, help us to be faithful with this command to make disciples. Lord, it is the one business your church is to be about. And Lord, let us make that a priority. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.